So let's get in to the Word of God. I want you to look at Matthew 7. Matthew 7 today. If you can bring it open in your Bible app. You can break open your Bible if you brought it. If you didn't bring any of that, we're going to put the words up on the screen because we believe the Word of God will speak into your life today. And so Matthew chapter 7, if you're taking notes, you can write it down. And I've almost made a huge mistake. I forgot to tell you the title of the message. Some of you, this is all you come for. And the title of the message is Drop It Like It's Heavy. Some of y'all are about to fill in the blank with something else. And that wouldn't have been correct. It would have had a catchy beat, but drop it like it's heavy, okay? And so Matthew 7, verse 13, it starts off by saying, you can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a few ever find it. And if you read these verses, there should be one basic logical question that most of us ask. And the first question that we should ask is, what path am I on? If you read these verses, that should be one of the first questions you ask is, well, I mean, if there's only two paths and one's wide and I don't like where that's going, but there's another path and it's narrow and it's difficult and it leads to the Lord, what path am I on? That should be a logical question that each and every one of us ask. Whether you've been in church a long time or today's your first day, you should ask, what path am I on? Because this is Jesus, by the way, talking in these verses. This is Jesus saying there's a wide path and a gate that's got a wide berth. It's got it wide open. But then he says there is a second path. And Jesus says, I want you to be aware of this. And he says, but the path, it's narrow, it's difficult. He says the gate even at the end of this path, it's very narrow, but he says there is two. And he says many people find the first path. It's why it's so wide. It's got to have room for everybody that's going down it. But Jesus says very few people find the second path. And then I think we should look at each other and go, well, which path am I on? And I want to encourage us to be on the narrow path, the one that's difficult, because Jesus says that's the good path. But I want to ask a second question now. That we're aware of what Jesus teaches, that there's two paths, one's narrow, one's easy. What choices are you intentionally making to be on the path? Because here's the thing, if you're in middle school or high school or college, what's one of the questions and things that parents and teachers start to point out to you? Young people get this all the time. Think about your choices. Think about your choices. Surprisingly, young people think about their choices sometimes after the fact, right? I remember being young, I always evaluated my choices after the fact. I did evaluate them though. Made several bad choices. But what about you, 53-year-old? When's the last time you evaluated your choices? Because here's the thing, if there's two paths and one is narrow and one's difficult, you ever been on a narrow, difficult hiking path? You gotta think about where you're stepping. You know what I'm saying? My wife and I, we just got to go to Ireland recently, and she was on the Cliffs of Moher, and she's walking, and there's parts of the path where there's no guide rail. There's just a nice cliff, and if you go over, it's a nice cliff that you'll never come back up again. You know what I'm saying? They have a monument at the beginning of the path, and it's dedicated to all the people who went down the path but didn't come back. I don't know about you, but on vacation, I don't like those kind of monuments. I'm here to relax, not be the next name on a monument. You know what I'm saying? But if a path is narrow and difficult, you don't just wander along it. You've got to be intentional about the steps you're choosing, about the choices you're making. And Jesus says on the narrow, difficult, you don't just happen to stumble across this narrow path. You don't happen to just end up on it. You don't happen to just stay on it. He says if that's the way you're living your life, you're on a wide path. Because on a wide path, you can do whatever you want. You got lots of leeway for all kinds of different choices, all kinds of different ways to live your life. He says there's a path for you, and it's wide, and it's easy going. You can do what you want. But he says if you want to be on a narrow path, it's not going to be easy. It's going to be difficult. You're going to have to make intentional choices about the way that you're living your life. See, you could have given your life to Jesus a long time ago, but you've never started off on a narrow path. That's a daily decision of what you're going to do and how you're going to live your life and the choices that you're making. And so I'm here to ask the second question, when's the last time you evaluated your choices? Because here's the thing, you can show up your entire life and go, I gave my life to Jesus, I asked him to forgive me of my sins, but you've never started off down a narrow path. Because it's difficult, and very few find it. And it's not easy. So I'm here today to ask what Jesus would ask is, which path are you on? But I also want us to look at some different verses. Matthew 11 now. And so if you're in Matthew 7, just turn over a couple chapters. You're going to get to Matthew 11. And if you're new to Vertical, I believe the Bible should be read in its full context. I believe you should read Genesis to Revelation. I believe it all works together. It all comes together. I don't believe you should try to pick and choose verses. Because here's the thing, you can make the Bible say a lot of incorrect things if you just take one verse from one part. Humanity's been real good at that. Humanity knows a lot of select verses. But here's the thing is, God gave us Genesis to Revelation. He said, I give all of this to you. And so Matthew 11, I believe, really applies to Matthew 7. By the way, a shout out to Alan and Teresa's group. I don't know if you go to a Vertical group. You should. I encourage you to get into a Vertical group. I love the one I go to. I try to pop into several others. But this group, Alan and Teresa, they were going through some of these verses recently. They did a phenomenal job, and I'm proud of them. I want to look at Matthew 11, verse 28. It says, then Jesus said, come to me. Come to me. And man, if you get nothing out of today besides this, this is still what Jesus says today. The reason we teach the Bible at Vertical Church is we believe the Bible applies to our life. We believe the Bible has not changed. And we believe Jesus still says today, come to me. He says, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Man, that's got to sound attractive. Life can have some heavy burdens. And Jesus says, come to me, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. And then if you underline anything, I want you to underline this. Let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. And the reason it's so important to read the Bible in its context is I believe Matthew 7 and Matthew 11 go together. Is chronologically, Matthew 7 happens before Matthew 11. He starts off Jesus by teaching. There's two paths. He says one path, it's narrow, it's difficult, it gets to a narrow gate at the end, and there's a wide path, and it gets to a wide open gate, and it's got a lot of room for people. But then he expounds a little bit later on in his teachings. And he says, now, when you're on one of these paths, you also have different options for burdens. He says, come to me, and I can give you a light and easy burden. Come to me, and I can give you rest. Which also means the other option would be a heavy burden, right? Because that's how you can come to Jesus, is with a heavy burden. So what he's telling us is there's a narrow, difficult path, but on that narrow, difficult path, you can have a light burden. That also means if you're on a wide and easy path, Jesus is saying the burden's heavy. And so you can make whatever choices you want in life and be on a wide and easy path, but Jesus says on there, there's a heavy burden. And I don't know if you've experienced that. I have. For years of my life, I lived for myself and I did whatever I wanted to do. I was what you called self-centered. I did what I want. I can tell you the path is wide. I could do whatever I wanted to do. But you know what I discovered? Is the further I got on that path, the heavier the burden got. You want to know, in that moment in college when I came back and gave my life to Jesus, I came back going, my burden is heavy. My burden is heavy. I've realized the path is wide, Jesus, but my burden is heavy. And you know what Jesus said in that moment? Come to me. Which rocked my world. Because if you've been on a wide and easy path and doing whatever you want, you become aware of a heavy burden. You become aware of your sin and your shame and your guilt. And you realize, man, I've done some things that Jesus doesn't like. He's not proud of. He's not endorsed. And he still says, come to me. Jesus still says, come to me. And he absolutely does. Not only does he say, come to me, he says, bring all those things that made your burden heavy. I'll take those. I'll take those from you. It's not that Jesus says, come to me, but you need to carry your shame. You need to carry your guilt. You need to carry your sin and think about what you've done. And maybe if you work it off long enough, then you can truly follow me. Jesus says, no, from the very beginning, from the very first moment, come to me and give me your burden, and I will make it light. He says, the path is difficult, and the gate is narrow, but on that path, the burden can be light. And maybe you've been following Jesus for less than a year. We've got people here in this room who've been following Jesus less than a year. I'm so proud of you. I'm excited for you. You're here in church. Proud of you. But even in a less than a year, you've discovered in moments that the path seems narrow, that the path seems difficult, right? Can you attest to this even less than a year that it's not always easy following Jesus? There's moments where you're like, this is what I want to do, but I know Jesus calls me to this, but making this choice to follow Jesus, it seems like my life may be a little more narrow, it may be a little more difficult. I can't always do what I want. It's not easy, even a year in sometimes. Maybe you follow Jesus 60 years and you can attest to that. That sometimes following the ways and teachings of Jesus isn't always easy. You stick out a little bit. People start to realize you're different. You can't always experience what everyone else is experiencing around you. And it seems a little bit narrow at points. But here's what Jesus also can attest to is, while the path is difficult, the burden can become light. And if you follow Jesus and realize there's been difficult moments in life, you're not exempt from them when you follow Jesus. But one of the things, even when life is difficult, you can have a peace. Something you don't even understand in the moment because you're like, this is the most difficult thing I've ever been through. But the burden seems to be light. And you're like, how does those things go together? And Jesus is really the only one who can explain it, that you can go on a narrow, difficult path, but a burden can be light on it. And he explained that you can go on a wide and easy path, but there's going to come a point where the burden gets heavier and heavier and heavier, and you decide, do you want to keep going? Or do you want to come to Jesus who offers rest and a light burden? What's so interesting to me is when he says, come to me, he's not forcing you. Jesus doesn't come to the wide path and start grabbing people by their shirt tail and drag them off to a narrow path. He's not kidnapping anybody into the kingdom. He says, come to me. Come to me. He's inviting humanity. He's inviting people who may not even be aware the burden is heavy yet. He's inviting people who are not even aware that there's another option, another path, but he invites you, and maybe you become aware that the burden is heavy by an invitation of Jesus. But I don't know if you've noticed this about us as humans. Some of us tend to like control. Have you discovered this in life? Some of us like control just maybe a little bit. And even as Christians, I don't know if you know this about the Christians, we like control still. We gave our life to Jesus, but we still like control a little bit. And I don't know if you've ever met it. It's a little interesting when you meet a Christian who's trying to be on a narrow, difficult path, but their burden's still heavy. It looks a little bizarre because it happens, but maybe you're a little bit like me and you're like, well, Jesus, I've got some temptations. I want to follow you on the narrow, difficult path, but maybe what I need to do is just handle my work life. So, I'm going to follow you, but maybe I need to make the choices for my career because I know what you've gifted me at. I know what I'm good at, so I'm just going to, it's just work. Everything else you've got, Jesus, right? But my work life, I'll handle. And then you go, well, maybe I could go pro in some sport, actually, or maybe I do look a little better when I can bench 400 pounds. And so I'm just going to maybe just, if I can, Jesus, just pick up athletics and just start maybe handling my athletic life and doing things that way and following you that way. And actually, now that I think about it, Jesus, while we're here and on this topic, maybe I need to just look after my family. Actually, I know maybe what's best for my family, Jesus, and so I'm just going to maybe take this too while we're here, but you can handle the rest. But while I say that, Jesus, I did think about my finances as well. So I don't want to be offensive, Jesus, but maybe, just maybe, I'll handle my finances too. And Jesus finally looks back at us and goes, are you missing anything? And some of us didn't pick up on his slight sarcasm, and we genuinely start thinking. And you're like, now that I think about it, I did. I mean, I want to go down the narrow, difficult path, but I can't leave Toto. So good heavens, we pick up and we're like, all right, well, I can't leave my pets behind while I follow Jesus. And so now we look back and Jesus go, okay, now your boy's ready for the narrow, difficult path. I don't know if you've noticed this, but this is not a good look for a narrow, difficult path. Toto is going to take a tumble at some point down a steep cliff because he's not made to be carried down a narrow path. You know what I say about your pets? Let them work out their salvation with fear and trembling. Stop trying to take them down the narrow, difficult path. Some of the Christians, we wandered around a narrow, difficult path looking like an out-of-place tourist. What are you carrying today that you're not supposed to be carrying? Because if it's anything at all, it's not righteous, it's unbiblical. Jesus says, come to me and give up Toto. Leave it behind. You don't need to take him with you. Your family that you think you always know what's best for and you're trying to control, and trust me. Trust me. Give it back to Jesus. You can't control other people. You can pray for them, you can lead them, you can seek them, but there comes a moment where they too have to work out their fear and salvation with trembling. They will have to answer to the Lord. Teach them, love them, pray for them, but you cannot control them. When it comes to our finances, we think we may know best, but maybe it's time to leave that behind and maybe do things God's way, and to trust him with your finances. And maybe, yes, you may be the next Michael Jordan, but maybe trust him with the athletics and live life the way that you're supposed to. And you may know all of your talents and your gifts and your skills and what your career is supposed to look like, but maybe it's supposed to not come down the narrow path with you in your control. Maybe it's supposed to be in Jesus's. But here's the thing, we as Christians, we try to follow Jesus carrying everything and thinking we look righteous. Jesus, look what I'll carry for you. I don't see that in Matthew 11. Where in Matthew 11 did Jesus say, come follow me and show me how much you can carry? Jesus says the path's difficult and it's narrow. Don't bring that with you. He says not only that, he says what? Give it to me. Give it to me. And some of us have been trying to go down a narrow, difficult path with heavy burdens when Jesus says, that's just unbiblical. That's not what I have for you. We show up looking like we're crazy, out-of-place tourists rather than a follower of Jesus Christ who says, let me teach you. How many of us maybe say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins, but I'm not going to listen to your teaching? And we wake up one day and we realize not only is the path difficult of following Jesus, but the burden to following Jesus is heavy. And that's what we communicate to people around us. And I'm here to tell you that's not what Jesus teaches at all. Jesus teaches the path is narrow and it is difficult, but the burden is not supposed to be heavy. It's supposed to be light. And I'm here to tell you that if you are trying to follow Jesus and the burden is heavy and it's crushing you, you may be holding on to something that you're supposed to be giving up. And so here's the thing, Jesus doesn't stop there. I think he expounds upon it even more in John 14. If you want to turn to John 14, and this is all in chronological order. He starts in Matthew 7, and gives us the teaching of a narrow or wide path. He goes back in Matthew 11 later on and expounds that even on those paths there can be different types of burdens, heavy or light. But then in John 14, I truly believe he ties a bow on everything in this thread of teaching. In John 14, it says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. And you know the way to where I'm going. I personally always laugh at verse 5. No, we don't know, Lord, says Thomas. We have no idea where you are going, so how can we know the way? Way to not sugarcoat it, Thomas. I like how he's just honest. Verse 6 says, Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And when you read Matthew 7, and you read Matthew 11, and then you read John 14, it all starts to come together a little bit. And here's what I mean by that. Jesus says, I am the way. What did he teach in Matthew 7? There's two paths. Jesus is saying, I am the path. It's not just some direction or something you have to try to figure out. Jesus says, I am the path. And then he says, the truth. The truth is, on that path, the burden is light. Following me, he says, come to me. Give me the burdens. The truth is, the path is difficult, but the burden is light. He says, let me teach you. Let me teach you the truth. Let me teach you the truth. And then he says, I'm also the way. What does he say in Matthew 7? That there's two gates, right? And he says that there's a narrow, difficult path, and the gate is narrow, right? That's what he says in Matthew 7. Well, he comes back to explain the reason the gate is so narrow is I am the gate. Jesus says, I am the gate. No one comes to the Father except through me. The reason the path is difficult is it's the teachings of Jesus. They're not easy. So many times even his disciples say, Jesus, this is a hard teaching. The reason the gate is so narrow is Jesus says, no one's coming to the Father except through me. The temptation of humanity for thousands of years now, since Jesus has been around, is to try to expand the path. We try to expand the path and go, Jesus, the narrow path is difficult. And he goes, I know. And so we say, well, how about we widen it a little bit? Maybe certain sins aren't sins anymore. There's a lot of people out on YouTube or Facebook or other places that are trying to teach a more inclusive gospel. Well, here's the thing we believe at Vertical Church. The Bible hasn't changed. We're going to preach the Bible like Jesus meant what he said, and it still stands true. The path he said, according to Jesus, quoting him, it's a narrow path, and it is difficult, but Jesus says, I am the way. And so for humanity to try to come back and change what the path looks like is to look back at Jesus and say, we need you to change. We need you to be different. We need you to come back and teach something different. I'm here to tell you sin is still sin. Sin is still sin. We can't avoid it. We can't deny it. But anything humanity tries to do to change the teachings of Jesus, to widen the path, I'm here to tell you, you can do that, but it's not Christianity. What you've discovered was something discovered long ago, and it's called a wide path. It's a wide path. People for thousands of years have gone, I have actually figured out the path is larger. No, you haven't. You figured out that there's another path and it's wide. And we go, well, Jesus doesn't seem very inclusive. Jesus seems kind of difficult. I don't know that it's very loving, but here's the thing. If Jesus is the truth and he is the way and he is the life and that no one is coming to the Father except through him, if that's true, the most loving thing Jesus can do is explain what the path looks like. The most loving thing he can do is explain what the truth is and how to get through a narrow gate. If that's all true, that is the most loving thing Jesus can do. Because here's the thing, if we also believe it is a narrow path like the Bible teaches and that hasn't changed, That means we also believe the words of Jesus have not changed, and he still says, come to me. You see, people can try to label Jesus as not inclusive, and he wants people to stay away, but that's not what Jesus teaches at all. Jesus teaches in this verse, come to me. I still believe for humanity today, you know what Jesus says to humanity, despite our sin, despite our wide path, despite our incorrect teachings, our own ideas, or our own pride, or our own wisdom, he looks at humanity in our sin and our shame and our guilt, and he still says to a broken humanity, come to me. Come to me. Jesus has no interest in trying to keep people away. He has every intention of trying to explain there is another path. There is another way. And it leads to a narrow gate. But through that narrow gate, there is life everlasting. And he's trying to explain to humanity, it may be difficult and it may be narrow, but it does exist. Come to me. Come to me. Let me teach you. Let me give you rest. Let me show you there's a light burden. Jesus does not want you to stay away. Jesus does not want you to stay away. Jesus does not want you to have a heavy burden. And I'm here today to tell you, if you're emotionally just weighed down, if you're just absolutely physically troubled, if you feel so spiritually dry, I'm here today to tell you Jesus still says, come to me. I want to give you rest. I want to give you a light burden today. These verses aren't for yesterday or years ago. They're for today. You can come to Jesus. You may have been trying to run and run down a wide and easy path, but the burden becomes heavier and heavier. And Jesus says, despite all your running, despite all your sin, he still says, come back to me. Come back to me. I want to give you rest. I want to give you a light burden. I love you enough to invite you to come follow me. Jesus doesn't want you to stay away. So I want to ask three different questions. And the first is, what path are you on? You may have engaged with us today and you realize the path that you are on looks a lot like you make your own choices. You do things your own way. You live life for yourself. And I'm here to tell you, that's a wide path. The teaching of Jesus says that's a wide path. You can make whatever choice you want. He gives you an option. There's a wide path. And he says a lot of people go down it. A lot of people go down it. That should give each and every one of us pause alone. What path are you on? Are you making intentional choices to go, Jesus, I'm trying to stay on a narrow, difficult path. I'm trying to follow in your ways, because Jesus says, I am the path. You're not going down the path if you're not following Jesus. Does that need to change today? Does that need to change? What path you're on, does it need to change today? And the second question is, what is the burden you have today? If it's anything other than light, Jesus says, give it to me. Give it to me. Jesus looks at our life when we're trying to carry all of these burdens and the weight, and he goes, that's not what I have for you. I want the best for you, and it is a light burden. Jesus says, I want to give you rest. I don't want you to stay away. Come to me. And maybe today's the day where you have run from Jesus for a long time. And every day the burden just seems to get heavier. I'm here today to tell you, Jesus still says after everything, come to me and I'll give you rest. He says, give me the heavy burden. You don't have anything you have to prove to me. Come to me. And maybe today's the day you give your life to Jesus and you start to experience that there is a burden that is light. And the path may be narrow and it may be difficult, but the burden is light. And the last thing I want to ask is, are you letting Jesus lead? Are you letting Jesus lead? Because none of us are going to show up at a narrow gate named Jesus if he doesn't lead us there. You may have your ideas and your opinions and your thoughts, but at the end of the day, are you following Jesus? Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one's coming to the Father except through me. The hardest thing for humanity to accept is the Bible is not here for us to use for our own gain. It's either here we submit to it or we don't. The whole thing. Do we submit to what the Bible teaches? It's one of the reasons where at some point as a church, we're just going to teach chronologically through the Gospels. If Jesus says, I am the way, one of the things we have to know is what Jesus teaches. I don't know if that's rocket science. I don't think it is because I'm going to teach through it. I promise you it's not rocket science. But Jesus, even in the verses there, says, let me teach you the path. But here's the thing is, none of us are going to know the path if we don't know what Jesus teaches. And here's what I would encourage you with. If you're like, man, I don't necessarily know what Jesus teaches, I would encourage you, don't wait for the sermon series. Just start reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Don't wait on me. I promise it's there. You can go read it. And Jesus says, come to me. You know what Jesus doesn't teach? Go to Phil. I encourage you, if you don't know the ways of Jesus, this is your moment. You can start reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and read and learn what Jesus teaches. And as you, if you showed up today in person, you saw communion cups, right? And if you've been following Jesus for a long time, you may know what Jesus teaches about communion. Jesus says, this is my body, when he's holding up bread. And he says, this is symbolic. When you eat of this bread, remember me. And he takes some wine, and he says, this is symbolic. When you look at this wine, when you drink of this wine, remember me. That's what Jesus teaches. But here's one of the things. I think for Christians for a long time, we remember what Jesus did, but we don't always remember what Jesus teaches. And I don't think that's what Jesus meant in this moment. I don't think he's like, just remember what I did. Remember what I teach. Because here's the thing, you can remember what Jesus did and not really change your life. You want your life to change, remember what he teaches as well. And so we're going to take a moment as a church. And I'm going to give you a moment where at the beginning of worship, you can take communion. There's a little wafer at the top of your cup. There's a little bit of grape juice. Wine ain't cheap. And you can take it at the beginning. We're going to have a time of an invitation song. And all that means is just a moment to reflect, a moment to pray, a moment to ask God, like, am I remembering not only what you did, but do I remember what you teach? Am I truly making intentional choices of going down the path of following you, Jesus? Or is there something that needs to change my life? Is my burden heavy? Is something need to change? Am I truly letting you lead in my life? Or Jesus, are you off on the side? Because you can be there because you can forgive me of my sins, but I'm still carrying some things because I know what's best. Does something need to change? And Jesus says, remember not just what I did, but what I teach. And so I'm going to give you a moment. You can pray through that. This moment is between you and the Lord. And here's the thing. If you're not a Christian, you're off the hook. You don't have to try to figure out what to do with some wafer. This isn't for you to figure out what to do with some grape juice. Communion is for Christians because it's a solemn moment between them and the Lord to go, I remember what Jesus did, but I'm going to remember what he teaches as well. And it's a moment for us to make a commitment before the Lord, to make sure we're doing what's right before him. And so in this time, when we come and sing one last song. Don't remember just what Jesus did, because it did. It changed our lives and our opportunities. But remember what he teaches, what he calls us to. Come and remember that he's still teaching today. Come to me. Remember that he teaches. I want to give you a light burden. Give me your burdens to me. Come remember that he teaches that he is the way, the truth, and the life, that no one's coming to the Father except through him. Come and remember that if something needs to change in your life, the grace and love of Jesus says it can happen today. So you can take communion whenever you're ready. You may want to pray. You may want to seek. If you want to come down at Hiawassee, Courtney's going to be up front. If you're online, send us a message. I'm going to be down here off to the side. Because maybe you just want prayer because the path's difficult. Maybe you're like, I just need a little bit of encouragement. The path is difficult. You know what the Christian church should be? It should be a place where we encourage and challenge one another to be on the narrow path. It's not easy. We should encourage and challenge one another. Stay on the path. We see a brother or sister carrying a heavy burden. Encourage them. That's not for you to carry. Jesus said to give that to him. As hard as it is. So, Lord, we take this time to remember not just what you did, but Jesus, we take this time to remember what you teach. That the path is narrow and it is difficult. That there is a wide path that many of us could go down. Jesus, that you teach that the burden can be light and rest can be found in you, and that you still invite us to come to you. That we remember that the gate is narrow. And if we try to expand it to anything else, it's not your teachings and it's not your way. Help us to submit to your ways and your teachings, Jesus. And thank you for your love and your grace for us. Jesus, may you lead us on the narrow path. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.